The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice it's God, 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 God. God is good, and all the time. I love God. Do you love Him? There's a testimony I feel sometimes impressed to give. And it is simply this. In all my life, all my blessings have come from God, all the good things. Every problem I have brought on myself by my stupid choices and hard-headedness. Let me say it again. I want to clear God's name of any wrongdoing in my life. God has never done me anything wrong. I didn't say I have never complained. But sin is a form of temporary insanity. So from time to time, I have a complaint against God. But God, you know, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. No created being can ever manufacture a cause that justifies anger towards God. God has never done me any wrong. And I thank Him for that. And I can never stop apologizing for doing Him so much wrong. But He forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives. And I'm eternally grateful to Him for that. And I'm willing to lay down my life for His sake. I really am. All right. By the way, I saw the sun today. Come on, somebody say amen. I was very happy. I wrote my wife and I said, I can see a patch of blue. You know, in the Bible, blue is the color of obedience. It's the color of the law. Keep this in mind as you consider the fact we live under what color sky? A blue sky. It's a constant reminder to do one thing. What's that? Obey me. Maybe some night I will explain to you from the Bible why blue is the color of the law, obedience, faithfulness to God. How was your day? Wonderful. Did you thank God for that? The Bible says in everything give thanks. It's a difficult verse to apply, particularly when things go wrong. But I've grown older. I've learned to thank God for everything. This is literally everything. When I walk upstairs in my house, I thank God I can do that. Did you catch what I'm trying to tell you? Do you know how many millions of people on earth cannot walk upstairs? And I speak with respect. And so whenever I up the stairs, down the stairs, Father, I thank you. I can walk up and down these stairs. I thank God I can see you. I thank God I can hear the singing of Brother Finley and this worship, musical worship of the choir yesterday. I can hear. I thank God for 10 of these. I don't know which one I'd like to lose. This is no joke. 10 of these. 2 of these. On a brain that is still filled with sanity. I may not be a millionaire, but that's okay. I know who is. Come on, say amen. And so, thank God. Just live a life of constant thanks. Scientists have determined by research that a spirit of thankfulness improves the health. Well, let me leave that alone. It's nice to see you. And God bless you for loving His Word. I really mean that from my heart. Let me welcome those of you connecting via the internet, YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is. Thank you very much. I say that sincerely. May God bless you. We live in a world where the Word of God is well known, but not studied. Well known because everyone has heard the word Bible. So it's well known. And that's it. But it is not knowing there's something called the Bible that changes the life. It is living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so God bless you for loving His Word. God bless you in this building for loving His Word. And I pray that the Word of God will transform your life so much that you yourself will be shocked. And that the Word of God will do the same thing in all members of your family. I thank God for this thing called the Bible. As I said, I believe it was first presentation, God said, let there be light. He spoke. That's all He did. And Jesus says, virtually, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. What He says is, the thing that created life is the thing that must sustain life. And what is that? The Word of God. Our subject for this evening, He'll do it again. What did I say? He'll do it again is our subject for this evening. Let me express great joy at the sight of young people. I really mean that from my heart. I love to see young people in church. And may the Lord bless you wherever you are, online as well. May He truly bless your young minds. Because young people can be very, very faithful to God if they're properly taught. And they see the proper examples. Let's bow our heads and pray. Loving Father in heaven, we've come to you again. And as long as we live, we will come to you. We thank you for preserving us during this day, dear God. And now if we've offended you, forgive us, Father. You delight to forgive. Micah 7:18 says, He delighteth in mercy. And what mercy is more than the mercy of forgiveness? I pray for myself in the sense that I ask you to grant me your spirit. Not for my sake, but that the words I speak may be your words, dear God. That my mind might be directed by your infallible spirit of truth. Father, there's a presence, I'm sure, somewhere in this building, somewhere around, to interfere with what I'm saying. That's the power of darkness. Restrain that power, dear God. That the words of life may flow uninterruptedly. Bless those watching online, Father. I thank you for the interest in the truth. Perhaps there's someone listening to me right now online or in person. The person needs this message to make the crucial decision. And as always, dear God, if someone listening has contracted COVID-19, I ask you with respectful determination and persistence, heal those persons, I pray, please, because you're a good God. Thank you for the tremendous honor of speaking for you. Now I humble myself before you. Use me, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. John 14, reading from verse 1. Our subject is what? He'll do it again. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? Now for those of you who said the Adventists, look up. Are you with me? Look up. Now let's recite the verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let me pause right there. We serve a God who tells us what we need to know. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. If it were not so, if I had changed it, come on, talk to me, I would have told you. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a command, and by the way, worry is not God's will for your life and mine. May I say politely, worry may be sin. Because you're doing what Jesus said, don't do. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Stop. Why? The same person speaking these words is the same person of whom the Bible says in Genesis 2 verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed or made. Why does he have to make another home? One word. Give me that word. Sin. It was never God's intention that what he did at creation would have to come to an end. Sin entered God's creation, and because of that, God has to, what's our subject? Do it again. Because when God sets a standard, he is determined to maintain that standard, even if he has to start all over again. Because God cannot lower his standard. He has to preserve it where it was and is, because his standard is his character itself. And so he has to do it again. Now let's look at sin. We looked at it last night, crime and punishment. Repetition is an effective tool of teaching, am I right? Let's look at sin again. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Let's go there. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. I'm tempted to tell you, look up as we read these two verses, but all right, you may look down. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We have death as a result of sin. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, we'll read verse 4 and we'll read verse 20. We'll read the last part of verse 4 and the first part of verse 20 of Ezekiel chapter 18. Do you have that? What is the first statement in Ezekiel 18 verse, the last statement saying that verse? The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel 18 verse 4, come on, finish it for me, it shall die. And so we have sin and death. Sin and death are, they cannot be separated. Now the sinner can be separated from sin. Death cannot be separated from sin. Did I say that clearly? Let me try again. Here am I, a sinner, I've not yet met Christ. Here's sin, here am I. We look alike. I get to know Jesus, and he separates me from sin. Are you following me? But no one can separate death from sin. Death and sin are Siamese twins connected at the heart and the mind and the brain. Where there's sin, finish my words, there's death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He could have said, the soul that sinneth, it must die. Ezekiel 18 verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The very first statement. Go to Ezekiel 33. Let's read verse 11. Our subject, he'll do it again. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. You have that? If you have my version, you may join with me and read. What does it say? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I what? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. And do what? And live. So we have wicked. Jesus wants the wicked to turn from his wickedness in order that he might live. Which means, in a spiritual sense, a wicked person is dead. A wicked person is dead. We'll come back to Ezekiel and finish that verse, but let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We read verse 6. Our subject, he'll do it again. 1 Timothy chapter 5, reading verse 6. All young men should read Timothy, 1 and 2, and also Titus. See what God expects of young men. When God called Timothy to work, when Paul called Timothy, Timothy was a teenager. But Paul saw in Timothy a sense of seriousness and responsibility, and Paul called a teenager to assist him. I leave that alone. 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, do you have that? Let me pray again. Father, as I continue speaking to your people whom you love, help me to feel the heavy responsibility of making the truth very clear to them with the help of your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. She that liveth in pleasure, finish the verse, is dead while she liveth. Listen to me again. The fact that someone is running around physically does not mean the person's alive. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we go back to Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. The verse goes on, turn ye from your what? Evil ways. Give me one word for that. Sin. For why, finish the verse, will he die? When I read this verse, I imagine God is just puzzled. Just puzzled. I do not understand why that man is so determined to tread a path of destruction. Or that woman. Why will he die, says God? When all you need to do is turn away from your wicked ways. We have sin and we have death. Go to Romans chapter 5, and I'll tell you why I'm giving you all these verses. I want you to leave this place convinced that this is what the Bible says and not my opinion. Do you have Romans chapter 5? Amen. Thank you for that loud, authoritative amen. God bless you. Verse 12. Do you have it? Romans 5 verse 12. Do we have that now? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death how? By sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have sin and death. The only reason for death is sin. Remove sin, what vanishes? Death. Go to Romans 5 verse 21. What does that verse say? That like as sin hath reigned unto death. Here we have it again. Even so might righteous grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like as sin hath reigned unto death. Let's back up into Romans chapter 3. Not 3, 6. Let's read 6:23. You should say it without looking. Romans 6:23, what does that say? For the wages of sin is death. Let's look at that verse closely as we continue. He'll do it again. It's almost 7:30. What? Why is someone given wages? They earned it. They earned it. Now, you may not earn your allowance from your parents, but when you get wages, you earn it. The Bible says, the wages of sin, what you earned, is death. The gift of God. Eternal life. So we have sin and death again. Let's go to James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, we read verses 13 to 15. Our subject, he'll do it again. The book of James chapter 1, reading 13 to 15. And my friends online, I hope you're still with us wherever you are on God's green earth. You have James 1, 13 to 15? Read with me. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, carefully, but every man is tempted when he is what? Drawn away of his own and enticed. Then when sin, what does it bring forth in verse 15? Death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me say differently, the ultimate expression of sin is death. The ultimate expression of righteousness is the very life of Christ. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, having said that, let's go back to Genesis. Let's go to chapter 3. 7:31. May the Lord bless your work week, which in the eyes of society begins tomorrow, but biblically it began today. No one's following me. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. What book did I say? Genesis. You know, Adventists have two Sabbaths, but that's another story. Genesis chapter 3, let's read verse 17. From 17. You have that? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face, verse 19, shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now what does God mean by dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return? You'll die. But why? Listen to verse 17 again. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten. But what did God say in Genesis 2 verse 17? Don't eat. So what did Adam do? He sinned. What did God say would happen? You die. But look closely at verse 17. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is which part of the ground? The whole world. The whole world is cursed by sin. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Sin affected vegetation. Look at verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Sin affected childbirth. When Noah came out of the ark, Genesis 9 verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon that which moveth upon the ground, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Why? Because the animals had become wild. And God knew that 8 people could not handle all those animals coming out of the ark. And so he placed in the animals a natural avoidance of people, which we still see today. Because sin changed the animals. Am I getting through? The entire creation is affected by sin. But we have established, and the Bible says, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. We had several witnesses. We had Genesis 2:16. We had Ezekiel 18 verse 4. Ezekiel 18 verse 20. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. We had Romans 5:12. Romans 5:21. We had Romans 6:26. We had James. We had a lot of witnesses establishing this word about death and sin. Now, wherever there's sin, there's death. Let me say differently. Anything contaminated by sin cannot exist forever. Let that sink in a little bit. What was contaminated by sin? What or who? Adam. Did he die? But gladly he died in Christ. And so the blood of Christ reverses that for Adam. Was the earth cursed? Can that cursed earth run forever? It has to come to an end. Listen to me carefully. Anything tainted by sin cannot last forever. It will come to an end. Inevitably, it has to end. It may take thousands of years, but it must. Let the Bible tell you more convincingly than I can. Hebrews chapter 1, let God tell you. This is God speaking, God the Father. Hebrews 1. What's our subject? He'll do it again. He did creation once, he has to do it again. You know, sin has God chewing his cabbage twice. Do you have that saying down here? You don't have it? Okay. All right. What book did I say? What chapter? Let's read from verse 10. Well, go from, we read some of 8, some of 9, then we go to 10. Let me pray. Father, as I continue, remind me that I'm in this pulpit for your glory alone and for the blessing of your people in this building and online. Use me to accomplish that dual goal, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, notice what the Father says. Thy throne, O God, is for how long? Forever and ever. What is the driving principle of that kingdom? A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Look at verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. In the kingdom of God, righteousness is love. We won't finish 9, let's skip to 10. Listen carefully now. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Now, you read verse 11 for me carefully, because I told you, anything tainted by sin must come to an end eventually. Read verse 11. They shall perish. Stop. What shall perish? Yes, read verse 10 again. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast done what? Laid the foundation of the earth. Finish the verse. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. Listen to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God the Father is telling Jesus, they will perish. Keep reading verse 11. They shall perish. Come on. But thou remainest. Ah. What does that tell you about God, about Jesus, as far as the Father is concerned? He's eternal. In contrast to creation, Christ is eternal. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth the garments. Creation is deteriorating. It will come to the point of where it ceases to exist. But Christ has to accelerate that process because he wants to do away with sin. Anything tainted by sin must come to an end. Now, the earth was cursed. This earth must come to an end. If you don't believe what I said, I know you'll believe the Bible. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Do you have that? Not yet? All right, that's an honest response. 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, we'll read from verse 10. Are you there? Read with me. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's the heavens. And the elements melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we have heaven and earth destroyed. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That heaven, that earth, tainted by sin, must be destroyed. Because anything that carries the blight of sin cannot exist forever. The Bible teaches us that very early in Genesis. Go back to Genesis 3. I hope you don't mind me having you jogging through the Bible. It's good spiritual aerobics. Genesis 3. We'll read from verse 21 and we'll go down to the end of that chapter. Genesis 3, reading from verse 21. Father in heaven, continue to speak through me, I pray, in the remaining minutes of this presentation. Let no one see or hear me. Let them see and hear Jesus. In his worthy name I pray. Amen. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Let me comment on that briefly. How many coats did God make for Adam and Eve? Come on, come on. Listen, read the verse for me. You read it for me. Verse 21. Quickly. Come on. And to Adam also, come on. How many coats did God make? Two. Salvation is an individual matter. My cloak can't cover you. Your mother's righteousness cannot save you. Go to verse 7 of Genesis 3. I'm slightly digressing. It may take me past 8 o'clock. Please don't complain. You have verse 7 of Genesis 3? Read for me. And the eyes of them both were open. Come on. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves. Singular or plural? How many aprons? How many coats? Sin is an individual matter. Salvation an individual matter. Now we go back to verse 21 of Genesis 3. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Read 22 with me now. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat forever and live forever. Therefore the Lord God did what? Sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. Why? To keep him from what? The tree of life. Keep him from the tree of life. Read verse 22 again. This time you read it, let me listen. Read my version. And the Lord God said, he's become as one of us. To know good and evil. And now? Put forth his hand and take and live forever. God, let me put him out before he eats from that tree and becomes a sinner that lives forever. God is such a nice person. Can you imagine being blind forever? You have cancer forever. In his love, God put them out to keep them from a circumstance that would have made suffering perpetual. God is love. God is caring. I like God, and I love him. He did not want sinners living forever. By the way, when people say, some churches preach sinners will burn forever. No, God told us as early as Genesis 3. I don't want a sinner living forever. The presence of sin cancels the possibility of immortality. Now, Matthew 1:21, just listen. This is what the angel Gabriel told Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son. Who is she? Mary. And thou shalt call his name what? Why? He shall save his people, come on, from this sin. From death. Why? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Death. All of this is leading up to this point I'm about to make. Because we began with John 14, 1-3. Let's go back there. John 14, 1-3. Let me do something that may look a little unusual. You have John 14, 1-3? Before we read that, let me ask you some questions and answer me. Answer me as loud as you can. Are you ready? What have I said so far tonight? Just tell me. Sin leads to death. Someone else. What else did I say? Sin is death. Through Christ, we escape from death because we remove from sin. Yes. God bless you. Anyone else? What have you heard tonight? Sin is an individual matter. So is righteousness. All right. Anybody else? Sin, because of sin, the entire creation was cursed. All right, having said that, let's go now to John 14, 1-3. Say it with me, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Stop. I go to prepare a place for whom? Not you, for me. Have you ever read the parable of the lost sheep? How many sheep did a shepherd have? 100. How many did he lose? What did he do with the 99? He left them somewhere. Went looking for that lost sheep by himself. When he found the sheep, it was just the sheep and the shepherd. Are you following me? Salvation is one to one. I go to prepare a place for me. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I believe, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He must come again to remake this world. Why? Because anything cursed by sin must cease to exist eventually, however long, however many millennia it may take. Anything cursed by sin cannot last forever. But we know why Jesus made the heaven and the earth. Go to Isaiah 45. Let's read verse 18. And no human being, no catastrophe like sin can change God's purpose. Isaiah 45, let's read verse 18. 12:08. You have Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. Hebrew, what does it say? He made it or formed it to be inhabited. He made it to be inhabited. If he does not do something about sin, what would happen to life on the earth? It would cease. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. But because of sin, he has to come and make it again. So that his original purpose, it would be inhabited by sinless beings and creatures unaffected by sin. The purpose of God might be realized. And so Jesus tells us in Isaiah 65 verse 17, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. He must do it again because of sin. So Jesus Christ must come back. It's one of the cardinal teachings of our church, the second coming of Christ. He must come back because his original purpose for creation was it should be inhabited. But we know that sin eventuates in death. Not even sin can prevent God from carrying out his original purpose. Calvary guarantees that. He must come back. Get rid of the curse of sin. And when sin is removed, finish my words. When sin goes, death goes. Listen to me carefully. Sin in my life means the seed of death in my life. There are members of the church carrying the seeds of death because we will not confess our sins. I read somewhere all people have cancer cells, but the immune system keeps them in check if the immune system is healthy and strong. I read that, I'm no scientist. Some of us carry death cells. Jesus wants to change that. Are you listening to me? He wants to change that. He has a, I hate to use the word vaccine, it's so contentious. He has a medication that will absolutely cure you. And Calvary needs no booster. We must confess our sins that the seeds of death might be removed. If the seeds of death remain, we will inevitably perish. And so tonight, we want Christ not only to recreate the heaven and the earth, but creation is both physical and spiritual. If any man be in Christ, he is a new what? What's it? A new creation. Physical creation contains lessons that enlighten us about spiritual creation. God created out of nothing when he made a heaven and the earth. When he saves us, he creates us out of nothing, because there's nothing you can give to God and tell him, here's some raw material, start with this. What did Paul say? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, come on, dwelleth what? No good thing. What did Jesus say? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What did Christ say again? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. There is nothing you and I can bring to God to commend us to God. And so he creates out of nothing. Spiritually, as he did physically. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Christ is also for this cursed world. Because our title is, He'll Do It Again. Go to Romans 8 quickly. Romans 8. Romans 8, let's read from verse 19. Our subject, He'll Do It Again. And I'm coming to the close. Romans 8, verse 19. All right, thank you. Good brother. The rest of us, of the church family, are we there? Romans 8, 19. Read with me. What does that say? For the earnest expectation of the creature, come on, waiteth for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Now the Greek word for earnest and the Greek word for waiteth are very related. The earnest expectation, those two words make up one word, is as if you stick your neck out and you're looking. That's creation. That's the physical world, you see. The physical world is suffering. Did you hear what I said? The physical world, let's put aside people, the physical world is suffering. As the Bible says, the earnest expectation, how the creation does it, I don't know. When God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah, how that happened, I don't know, but I know the birds obeyed him. When Christ spoke to the wind and the sea, how they understood, I have no clue. All I know is they obeyed him. Jesus, the Bible tells us, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, how does God do that? Isaiah 5, 6, I will command the clouds that they send no rain. He commands the clouds, and the cloud says, we're not dropping our rain. The earth somehow is suffering. Let the Bible tell you how badly it suffers. Look at verse 22 of Romans 8. Read that for me. What does that say? For we know that the what? The whole creation, come on, groaneth and travaileth together in pain. This is creation. When Christ died, what did he carry on his brow? Crown of thorn. Where does the crown of thorn come from? Where did it come from? A tree. A tree. He was on that cross between heaven and earth. His blood was dripping. It dripped through the atmosphere like the sacrifice of the sparrows back in the Old Testament. The sparrow was allowed to fly through the atmosphere. Christ's redemption touches people and it touches the creation, because all have been affected by sin. He must do it again. But he wants to start in your life and mine. Let me close with something I always say. When he did it the first time, when did he make Adam and Eve? On what day? So they were made last. When he does it the second time, he's making us first. Are you not with me? You with me? He is making us first by the gospel. Adam did not ask to be made, nor did Eve. They just opened their eyes and there they were. Then God had to give them opportunity to say yes or no to a perfect life. And they said no. By sinning. This time, he makes us first. By the power of the gospel. And the question, do you want to live in a sinless world? And by our obedience, we say yes. And when we've made that commitment so that no power on heaven and earth can change our mind, he seals us and he comes back. Now we watch him make the new heaven and the new earth. And he puts people in it who chose it. He's making you now. So when he comes the second time to do it again, he would have already made us again. Let him remake you. Let Christ remake you by his word. 1 Peter 1:23, this, listen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Because the word is eternal as the Jesus Christ himself. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is how he will make us again, or he is doing it. And when he creates the second time, and we stand and watch, he uses the word. As he did the first time. What's our subject? He'll do it again. Why does he have to do it again? Sin. What has sin affected? The entire creation. That's why the earth and the heavens burn. Ellen White says, sin has affected the very atmosphere. How many of you will say with me, Lord, I want to be ready when Christ comes a second time. But I want him to do it again in my life now. Do you have one of these? There's a place to check. I want to respond to the appeal for tonight. That's the appeal for tonight. Just check that. I want to be a part of that world when Jesus makes it again. But before he makes that world again, he has to make me all over. Don't come up in the resurrection surprised. Are you with me? Don't come up in the resurrection surprised. Because if you're surprised, you're in the wrong resurrection. But if you die in faith, as Abraham died, these all died in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 13. Revelation 14, 13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You die blessed because you die having pleased God. Revelation 20 verse 5, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You die blessed, you come up blessed. No change in character in the grave. You die blessed, you come up blessed. Say on that card, I want to respond to tonight's appeal, and my appeal is, I want Christ to do it again in my life, that I may be ready when he does it again in creation. Fill that card out. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. If I said something badly, forgive me, Father, I'll try better tomorrow night. I pray, Father, that something I said has already begun to change someone's life, because something I said is your word. Dear God, because of sin, you have to do it again. But that doing again must begin in us before you create the heaven and the earth all over. Father, help us to understand that wherever there's sin, there's death. Even though we may be physiologically alive, where there is sin, there's death. Through the blood of Christ, may God let us remove or submit ourselves to Christ to have the seeds of death removed, and the seeds of death are sins. Please, God, open our eyes wide to understand and see that you are doing in people again right now. That when you remake this heaven and this earth, you will populate it with the people who have already been made brand new. As your people sign those cards, let them sign with their hearts more than their hands. Bring us back tomorrow night, dear God, to listen to the message you will give me for your people, that you may be honored and they may be changed. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.